maybe next week, when at 9 o'clock we'll be featuring one of the rare German vegetarian pate makers of Lincolnshire. Just ahead, of course, of our main culinary expert, the man of whom it can now officially be said that the first Monday in November will indeed see the fantastic arrival of the Sittmeister, quite literally, in the city of Lincoln. Yes, indeed.
The finest in gourmet criticism and foodie delights, and the author of A History of Food in 100 Recipes. Quite clearly a question of quality personified. It's William Sitwell on the Midweek Drive Morning Edition.
And after last week on a golf course in Portugal with moles, where are we today, William?
Where am I today? I'm in the town of Thiviers, which is in the Périgord region of central France, not far from the river the Dordogne. Thiviers, as a sign, I literally went past, describes itself as the capital of foie gras. It's a beautiful old town. I'm just walking up to what looks like a vast ancient cathedral. And this is where every week they have a massive great market of foie gras and every sort of duck-related product you can think of. So if you're not into foie gras, stay well away.
Good point.
Not exactly vegetarian pâté, then.
Well, no, exactly. But we are looking forward to featuring this next week, and gentleman has said he's had lots of interesting commissions and may well produce some for us on the show, which is wonderful.
On the show?
They did say he's up for that, yeah, exactly.
Wow.
Midweek Drive Morning Edition in full force.
Live?
Yeah, absolutely.
Bring a duck in.
If it's a vegetarian pâté, presumably ducks can sleep easily, so we're okay on that basis. Never mind.
What's the weather like? It's just the way you were just describing your walk and the market and the cathedral. I'm just imagining this gorgeous sunshine over the mountains.
You know what? I tell you, as I speak to you now, a man in a beret carrying two baguettes is walking past me.
Really in France.
The sun is blazing down. There's not a cloud in the sky. And this is a sort of classic old French market town, beautiful old houses, lots of shutters, a fast church in front of me.
Flowers?
And a little fountain, very, very pretty, lots of little bars and brasseries, and I'm in the Place de Maréchal Foch, whatever that means.
Oh, he was an army general. We don't mention him in Germany.
Why not?
Let's not go there.
All right.
Oh, I am so envious. I wish I could be there right now.
Yeah, I'm standing there in front of a map where it says Vous êtes ici, so that's
nice.
Where I am.
You are here.
Did you hear the bell toll 10:30 then?
We did. Heard the clang.
Precision carried on. Dave, you're heading off on a brief holiday, well, a holiday before you sort of get back to work on the Bull Foundation after obviously leaving the University of Lincoln. Do you know, William, he's been here for 21 years.
Uh-huh.
21 English years.
35 in higher education.
35 in higher education, and it's his fun. And we've presented him with a bottle of wine today.
Yes, unfortunately it's not French wine.
It isn't French wine.
Sorry to say
Spanish.
That.
There we are, but still. Dave, any questions for William?
Well, I'm where have you been just before you got where you are now? Are you just doing a tour through France in a leisurely way?
That's not a philosophical question.
Yes, I thought it was very metaphysical in the sense of the word, really. Yeah, very good.
I've been staying in a little place called Brantôme, which is it's built on the side of a little cliff full of caves where monks arrived in probably like the 13th century, and they built a large abbey in around the 15th and 16th century, and Brantôme is built around a beautiful meandering river, and they call it the Venice of France. And I was staying in a little place that I discovered a couple of years ago called Le Châtenay, which is like a little manor house up on the hill, small little hotel where we were actually the only guests for most of this week, so we had the run of the place, and where the owner, a guy called William Laxton, or William Laxton, because actually he's French, even though he sounds English, cooked the most amazing food. He cooked us a 9-hour lamb that he cooks at 60 degrees for 9 hours.
I bet that was tender.
Pretty good. But the thing is, you know, in France, you really can eat fantastically well. I mean, on our way from Limoges, we'd missed the opening hours of the restaurants and brasseries on the way. It's 3 o'clock, and the French are very fastidious about not just what they eat, but the time that they eat. Mm-hmm. If you're not there between 12, 30 and 3, you can forget it. But we stopped literally in an Elin petrol station at 3 o'clock, just by a little town called Chaloux. And what's incredible out here is that unlike a service station on an A road in England, you know, you can get, the man who sells you your petrol will also sell you freshly made soup, a croque monsieur with fries and a salad, and it's incredibly civilized. And you know, you wonder, you know, we're so advanced in the UK that all you can get is a sandwich, you know, in an international brand of coffee. Whereas here, you have got little cheeky places. I mean, you know, I'm standing right in the center of this beautiful town of Thiviers, and there's not a single mass brand that I can see. You know, every single coffee shop.
Well, you're making me jealous, William.
And me.
Independent. And, you know, okay, there's a national bank, there's a national chain of pharmacies, but every single restaurant, every single cafe is independent. And, you know, I suppose that's a sort of spirit of independence. Maybe that's a particularly French thing. But, you know, I mean, I know it's different in the cities where you see, you know, these big brands and classes everywhere, but they've been a lot more, you know, protectionist, haven't they, about their own independent little industries. Yeah. And it does make for, I think, in a way, a better culture, because they're not swamped by Americanization, even though, you know, we all seem to enjoy it. But you come out here and you feel that you're lapping up a bit of proper culture. So, you know, I think the French are lucky in many ways, although it has to be said, a lot of people who work out here, live out here, will tell you that the French don't make it an easy place to do business. They have very restricting sort of labor hours. There's a lot of bureaucracy. But, you know, at least there's good wine and nice cheese.
And foie gras.
Foie gras.
And foie gras, for those who tolerate it. And we don't have to have that argument. You know, I don't want to be met with placards when I arrive back or whatever it is. But, you know...
We'll be picketing you.
He's very sensitive after, of course, the Pippa Middleton incident, I feel. That's something which clearly that sort of emerged into every sense of the word. William, what would you recommend...
Let me tell you, you mentioned Pippa Middleton. I hope you've noticed our circulation figures that were for Waitrose Kitchen, which we published this week, which shows that in the period January to June, we grew faster than any other magazine in the UK, and we're now the 15th largest magazine in Britain. We grew at 14.7%.
I like to feel, standard, which said
that, you know, they put it down to Pippa's Midas touch. Well, you know, every little helps.
I like to feel, William, it's these weekly slots that we actually do with your good self that will actually have an impact on that sort of purchase. Certainly, you know, getting hold of copies in Lincoln, very rare. It vanish off the shelves immediately. Stuff. Next Wednesday, we're actually launching Nikki Wells's third in the Rockstar Romance trilogy, Sophie's Encore. And Nikki's obviously keen for the after show party. What do you think we should actually have for nibbles and snacks for the actual sort of production? What would be the William Sitwell suggestion in terms of what we should be doing to kind of keep people happy for this launch? Because, I mean, it's crucial, isn't it? I mean, last time you had pink champagne, I believe.
Yes, there's a lot of food in these books as well.
Hint, hint. Yep. So, you know, Rockstar, I mean, describe the essence for William so he gets a sense of where he should be going for in this particular area.
For the whole trilogy or the last book?
Last book.
Okay, so we have Sophie and Dan have known each other what seems to be like a lifetime, and they have just not managed to get this relationship off the ground. Sophie was married to somebody else. Sophie has children. Dan is waiting in the wings.
Hope you're taking notes, William.
She is the love of his life. And then he puts in place this little ploy to get working with her, to get lots of time with her.
So given the second book, when we actually ran the book launch in February, caused a nice spike in the sales.
Certainly did.
Always good. So what should we actually have as far as culinary delights are concerned to help us along on Wednesday?
We're thinking rock stars here, so we're thinking after party. How would you cater for that?
Is it Spinal Tap?
Well, right? I'll give you two canapés, right? One is a fail-safe, nice cheese straws, okay, very simple. The great thing is, you know, you can gesticulate with them. They're filling, they've got cheese and pastry in them. Okay, and then the second thing is, get yourself some little cherry tomatoes, mix yourself some Bloody Mary mix, okay, and a little bit of vodka, get a syringe, and inject into your cherry tomatoes your Tabasco and your Worcester sauce, and then inject into that a little bit of vodka, and hand that around on a tray, and people will put those little things in their mouth. You get a little explosion of Bloody Mary and vodka, and if they don't get nuptialistic after that, God help them.
There, you see. Now, wow. That's more exciting than pizzas, isn't it, Nikki?
I'm going to put that into the next
book. I can see why his magazine started to increase sales. That's brilliant.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the next book has the whole injecting power. There's a nice little play on words
here. I can see
if
you've got some American rock stars in there, they're going to be playing baseball with the cheese sticks and the mini tomatoes.
We're keeping it British, so I have to be cricket.
I thought it was Arthur McKenzie who was winning
The ball's the right colour for cricket too. Yeah, excellent.
This particular show's line with Just Start Chucking It Out on the Machine. We had, of course, Gemma Joy's Charmingly Intimidated and Tough Love from Keith Tainton, but definitely William Sitwell with Gesticulating Cheese Straws. Has to be
it's
up there.
It's a pity. Can we get him to come and join us? Live demonstration of these canapés.
Whoa, I mean, you know,
are you back in the country next week, William? No, not back in the country.
I think that means, you know, we'll talk about this and we'll liaise. Bottom line is, last two questions for William Sitwell, please.
Nikki. That will be me. William, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us today?
I have, and if only every week I could speak to you direct from the Place de Maréchal Foch.
Well, I think the consensus in the studio is
Nikki
we
is
wish
German.
We
Don't
were
mention
there.
Maréchal, please.
Well, I can deal with it. We just, you know,
we rise
above this. And can we look forward to connecting with you again in the very near future?
I've put your money on it.
So far on the programme, we've gone from the joys of Minty Steed and, of course, the upcoming Pink Pig show, together with, of course, the Southside and Siren FM Terriers and the exciting delights, of course, of the Terrier team and Patchwork Poach, Richard Fitzwilliams with his movie views, Arthur McKenzie with his cinematic notions of Harrigan and so on, Professor Richard Keeble celebrating the work of himself and a variety of other fine folk as well, and students. We obviously continue to celebrate Dave Kenyon's top scenario of Life, Universe, Gemma Joy, William Sitwell, of course, from Tivier in France. But now, if we actually said who was recently treated like royalty, I say again, like royalty in Japan, well, that would have to be the one and only
Thunderbirds, James Bond, Stanley Kubrick, Meryl Streep, Joan 90, Doctor Who, Batman Begins, Superman, The Three Martinis, The Three Deuces, and Dick's Banner. Who needs anything more to welcome the legendary Shane and Sheila River to the Midweek Drive?
Yeah, you are on now. It's Q. You're live. Sorted through. Shane and Sheila River, good morning.
Can you hear it?
Are we well? Are we okay? I don't know.
Hi, Alex.
Hello, Sheila. Oh, for a moment there, I thought you might have been going all Catherine Zeta-Jones and Michael Douglas on us. What's happening? You know, please, just breathe.
I thought we were 10,000 feet in the air or something.
Well, thanks. Yes, it's all. We're down, we're sorted, and good news in every sense of the words that you're back with us. So, let's say we heard from Keith Tainton, who was our man in Japan, Osaka, Japan, for nearly a decade.
Really?
Yep. He's now come back to Keithley in Yorkshire. So what was the experience like being over in Japan, being, of course, you know, treated like royalty, quote-unquote, from Sheila Rimmer, recent email?
Yeah. It was great. It was wonderful.
And, I mean, Thunderbirds have always been big in Japan, to use the phrase, but it's nice to see that even in the 21st century, coming up for the 50th anniversary, of course, of the whole thing, it's still got that magic.
Yeah. Well, they have this huge exhibition there, the Thunderbirds exhibition, in a massive place, in a park. And they had all the old original puppets, plus new people who've designed new ones, a chap called Kenji Sakamoto and various other people who've redone them. But they're still the old style, but they've just redone them. And they were huge, you know. Yes, and we also went to this Masai Mara convention, right up by the Pacific, quite a long way further out of Tokyo, and that was great too. And we spent a lot of time in something called the Joke Shop, where they had millions of merchandise, squashed into a little place, the toy shop, sorry, not the cake shop, the toy shop. And this Dr. Abby Masahiro, who invited Shane over, he was just fantastic. He whisked us off here, there and everywhere, you know.
Very good.
We just did what we were told, really.
Well, we like to feel it fits in well with your experience in Teesside a few years ago, but, you know, that's the line in time.
Absolutely, yes. Yeah, we whisked around rather quickly there, too.
Oh, exactly. Often the best way with Teesside.
Well, because we got to this place where the festival, was it the Wonder Festival, Sheila?
Yeah.
Was being held, and there was a massive crowd, you know, double formed around this huge building, and I said at the time, God, somebody's drawing a lot of people.
That was you, Shane.
And the driver said, it's you.
Yeah.
It's you, too. So all this, you know, this sort of traditional description of the inscrutable Oriental is just a bunch of nonsense now, because they were the most generous, open,
Shane, please,
welcoming.
Two words, two characters. Kirano, Tintin. Okay.
Yes.
What's not to learn? You know, Kirano, Tintin. Mr.
I kept saying that to keep my voice on the right sort of channel, but they were amazingly open and hospitable there. And Tokyo is there's this great sort of pace about everything. You know, it's a bit like New York, I guess, or London at its best. But there's no feeling that there is danger anywhere.
Well,
you know?
I'm not sure about that.
Yeah. Thank you, Sheila. It's nice to see that you're there keeping that line sort of through. You know, Shane just wandering through the streets of all sorts of Japanese scenarios there. You don't know what could happen there.
I'm reminded of that film with Tom Hanks. Yeah. What was it called again? You know, he's completely out there in Japan and doesn't know what's hit him. Oh, forgotten what it's called now. I'm getting old.
No, chronologically gifted. We don't get old on the Midweek
Drive. All right, I'm chronologically
I'm
gifted.
I'm the only one who's allowed to get old around here.
That is very disconcerting, that film. It's one of the fieldest films I've ever seen.
Well, we will connect. That's the important thing. Listen, a couple of mentions to start off with. Ralph Titterton, who looks after, obviously, the Barry Gray tribute thing and all sorts of other things. And, of course, our very own Ross Ironfield at the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre. Very, very excited about the fact that Jamie Anderson is going to get a whole new package, so hopefully, all being well, you know, there's a grand new opening and a grand event for fans of the work of Gerry Anderson taking place in, I think, April, May next year.
That's right.
Looking forward to that. Shane, I trust you're one of the first people who was solidly booked for that, really, so it's very
well, we are booked for it. Yes. I mean, I don't know how solid these things are. Well, we're off to Cardiff this weekend for a convention, and then it goes on from there, but so far, it's rolling nicely.
I still think the audio series of Shane and Sheila on the road is something I want to
that
do.
Might be Uneasy Riders or something like that.
He's still got, you see, a writer, an actor, genius. Canadian as well. Fantastic. Dave, any questions from yourself? Because I think, have you met Shane before when he's been up at the university? I think you might have briefly in passing.
Well, we were talking about being chronologically gifted, and I'm afraid my memory is porous, shall
okay.
we say.
Okay.
Yes, so I may well have done, Shane, and good to talk to you.
Writer for Joe 90, writer for Captain Scarlet, the voice of Scott Tracy, you know, Spy Who Loved Me, Batman Begins.
Oh, stop it, Alex.
Well, sure.
A fantastic track record.
You sound like my mother.
Oh.
Nobody sounds like your mother.
Thank you. And it's the first time I've ever been likened to a mother, but never mind. Shane, is it correct to think you have a jazz aspect to yourself? Do you like jazz, trad jazz? Is that something?
I do like. I don't like the wildest sort of hard jazz, but there are so many good jazz musicians around all over the world that I just find it a delight to tune them in, and I do quite often, and I've got a fairly extent. I've still got cassettes, for God's sake.
Where do you
think the old 45?
Hey, there's nothing wrong with cassettes, and indeed the old 45.
No.
Where do you sit on Thelonious Monk? And don't say on his head, because
lovely.
Not good.
Thank you very much. Anytime.
Little bit of Thelonious Monk, a little bit of light blue. Do you think, in honor of the Thunderbirds thing?
Yeah.
Okay, back with you in about 2 or 3 minutes. Stay online, because we've got another presentation for Dave Kenyon coming up. Yes.
You're just
Dave, what is it about Thelonious Monk that has always particularly floated your boat?
Well, I think you could hear the smoke there, couldn't you, really? You could hear the club, and he just makes me laugh. I know he's supposed to be fantastically intellectual and this fantastic one-off bebop composer, but I think he's got a fantastic sense of humour. I know he was deadpan a lot of the time, but it just makes me smile.
And what about yourself, Shane? Thelonious Monk?
Well, Thelonious Monk is way up there. I mean, he was one of the leaders of the kind of avant-garde jazz, but never got out of control. I mean, he always felt that the tune was safe in his hands, you know, wherever it was.
Mm. Who's playing the trumpet?
That's a very good question, Sheila, and I can't answer you. But nicely put together. I'll set the track. I'll set the researchers on
that one. Don't go to pieces now, Alex.
No, I know. I realise that, you know, it's all sort of the Sheila straight in there. Well, who's playing the trumpet on that one, she says. You know,
let's pretend.
Yeah, it's a bit sprightly this morning. Sorry.
Yeah, just Google it. It'll turn up.
I've switched the computer off. I felt it was time to actually switch the computer off for a change. You know,
that's radical.
Yeah, I know. Still, never mind. Nikki, any questions for Shane or Sheila? In fact, do your children still watch Thunderbirds? Have they got into that as yet?
Oh, they do, occasionally. Aww. But they're more into the whole Star Trek thing is kind of the thing at the moment.
Yeah. Okay.
Right down to the Lego.
Right down
aspect.
To the Lego.
Is there
a Lego Scott Tracy as yet? I'm sure there must be somewhere that we can actually build.
Not.
Yeah. It's almost quite spooky, really, when you have the action figure put together from that point of view. Yeah.
So with Lego, how would you know? Because they're all the same man, but with a different hat, aren't they?
Well, you say that the ninjas actually have turtle backs.
Oh, do they?
They certainly do.
But presumably they clip on, do they?
No, I haven't figured out how to take them off yet, but...
Ask me if there's a show in the entire world that actually features Thunderbirds, Thelonious Monk, Shane and Sheila Rimmer, and turtles. I didn't think you got that.
It's Midweek Drive Morning Edition and Siren
Terriers.
Absolutely.
And Pink Pigs.
It is time to pass over a brown envelope to Dave Kenyon. Shane and Sheila,
purple.
And dear listener, it is indeed a purple envelope. Thank you. I was having a moment's colour blindness. It's
just
radio. We could have worked with this.
Yes. Drum roll.
Dave, would you like to sort of open this envelope up here and
just
talk your way through it for the benefit of Shane and Sheila, because, you know, in the show business world, when you have a colleague, an esteemed colleague who's heading off into the wide blue yonder, you want to sort of work through this. So lots of words on
what do you mean by the wide blue yonder? It sounds a bit...
Well, yes,
I'm being shot in a cannon, Sheila, and I'm
Nikki,
not coming back.
Nikki, would you like to read the opening things that we actually got here?
Because it's so sorry to hear you are leaving.
Yes,
it will be a terrible wrench. Eyes will be filling with teardrops. Yes. The teeth we will just have to clench. Yep. You're off on a brand new adventure. It seems that it's time to move on.
Time to move on.
But you know that this place will seem empty.
Empty.
There'll be such a void when you're gone.
Who's going?
Yes. No. Dave Kenyon. I don't think I am.
Right.
I'm still here. Don't worry, Sheila.
Oh, my God. Moment of panic.
I was packing my bags already. I didn't know what was going on.
Right, so I'm opening this cut up because there is a second piece of poem.
Yes, yeah. We wanted to match something which gave Dave's
verbosity.
It's moving.
I'm choked up.
Yeah.
So the hankies will be at the ready and we'll just have to say cheerio.
Cheerio.
There'll be such a sea of emotion and heartache the moment you go. But it seems you have made your decision. Yeah. We'll accept it and we won't be bitter.
We won't be bitter.
And we'll just have to try and replace you.
Yeah.
With someone...
Who's leaner and fitter.
Yeah. Much younger and fitter! Whee! Goodbye and good luck. Signed by loads
several,
of people.
Several folk there, certainly.
And
mentioned.
They didn't
Woo!
Say
me. Good round of applause.
Absolutely. Shane and Sheila, thank you for joining us for that very emotive little piece. Any final words, Dave?
On
the show, at least.
It's
speechless.
Stunned into
farewell
speechless.
And thanks for all the fish.
There you
I
are.
Think is the only thing I can think of.
That's okay.
But what are the last two questions we need to put to Shane and Sheila, please? Nikki.
Shane and Sheila, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us this morning?
Oh.
Great fun, yes.
More
good.
Than reasonable.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
And I'd like to tell Alex that we've been married 50 years in 2 weeks' time.
Woo!
Yeah, that's
golden wedding.
This is and brilliant. That's all
it's,
I can say.
It's all happening here. Can we come to the party?
I think we say, well, yes.
Yeah,
in fact, let's invite them back next week after the Cardiff event. Go for it, Nikki. What's the next question?
Yes. Can we look forward to connecting with you again in the very near future, like, say, next week?
Yeah. We're also going to Manchester. Have you heard of the Fantastic Film convention? They do it every year in Manchester.
Yeah, absolutely. It's FAB, FAB Cafe. You've got all sorts of fantastic... It's brilliant. You know, it's,
okay.
Shane and Sheila, don't forget shanerimmer.com, go-to website for all marvellous things. We'll return next week. Minty Steed, thank you. Richard Fitzwilliams, thank you. Arthur McKenzie, Professor Richard Keeble, Gemma Joy, William Sitwell, Bridget Jennings from the Land Rover Burley Horse Trials, and, of course, yourself, dear listener. Nikki, thank you.
Thank you, Alex.
Dave. Wow.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.
News coming up. And more on Siren 107.3 FM. Actually, we haven't had those sort of rounds. Can we all say bye-bye? A one, a two, a three.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
So bad, because when I see you, I start trying. Stop, but there's no denying.